Welcome to Dentology, the Business of Dentistry podcast. In this podcast, we delve into the non-clinical aspects of dentistry with inspirational guests from across the profession. You will hear incredible life stories, pick up valuable business tips, and be entertained. I'm Andy Acton, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Drevens.
It's interesting, isn't it, when you look at how our business has changed over the years and how...
Evolved big time.
Well, yeah, and in the very early days, we provided valuations for dental practices, and in most cases it was just a valuation that immediately led to a sale. But it's definitely been a shift in terms of how people are thinking about the longer term, isn't there?
Definitely. Yeah, when you look back to it's laughable, really, isn't it, when you think when we bought the business, Frank and Sandra did a valuation on one that maybe two pieces of paper with no data. And I remember the sales prospectus was, I think, half a page. Things have evolved big time because I think, one, market conditions have changed, especially in the last, since COVID, for sure. And also I think maybe dentistry is now seen as more of a business than it was.
Yeah.
So people are looking at it as an income generator. Mm. And also I think looking to the future. Mm. I mean, we've always said, haven't we, why sell your practice unless you have to or want to, whereas you could maybe give yourself a 3-year run-up and change something so as that you could maximise your value.
Well, it's interesting. I was at a show recently and there were two guys who are just about to open their practice and they're already talking about, okay, so what does it need to look like to maximise the sale? What size does it need to be? Mm. What mix of income? They haven't even opened yet. Mm. Yet they're already saying, when we exit, what does it look like? Mm. And I think for us, it's certainly seen a shift in how we do it. And I think that's what kind of led us to create the impact valuation, which is kind of saying to people, I'm here at the moment. This is what it looks like. I'm thinking of making a change of some sort. Can you tell me the impact of that change? And an impact valuation might be...
It's not we hit them.
No, different sort of
impact.
That's a different sort of impact. But the impact might be I'm looking to convert from the NHS to private. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to drop my NHS contract. I'm going to move, become a purely private practice. Are you able to let me know how does that affect my valuation? I think another one that stands out, obviously, one of the things that we do when we value dental practices is we look at like chair occupancy. So chair occupancy, in simplistic terms, is you have a 3-surgery practice. In our world, that would mean you have 18 available dental days a week, which is 6 days per surgery, 18 days. If you see a practice that perhaps is only delivering 9 dental days across those 3 surgeries per week, so kind of 3 days per surgery, we would classify that as having a 50% chair occupancy. Mm-hmm. So it's got a potential of 18 days, only delivering 9. And again, talking to people and say, okay, let's talk about the impact of your value if you went from 9 dental days. Perhaps you wouldn't get to 18, but you might get to 12 or 13 or 14. What would be the impact of that change? I think when people can see in numbers how that's going to affect their value, but also the profitability. Mm. Sometimes you need that kind of carrot to make you push forward, but that's a significant change I've seen in the past couple of years.
And I think also on something like that, isn't it? It's about, I think people sometimes misunderstand how business works, that when you've got, if you're paying the fixed costs of your rent and your light and heat, or whatever, and your staff, and your staff are there full time. It's just your chairs aren't occupied full time. There's not really a huge amount of extra cost. Now, okay,
it's going to be variable.
You might have to employ a hygienist or a specialist or an associate, or you might have to work more days yourself. But the costs are quite often fixed costs already. They're already sunk costs.
Yeah.
And I think people need to try and, as you say, almost run the numbers to see what it looks like. But I think the issue sometimes is they don't know how to run the numbers, isn't it?
No. But as you were saying that, I was just thinking that the amount of people we get who talk to us about, I'm going to add on an extra surgery, how much extra value does that bring? And the truth is it brings no value.
Mm.
Yeah, unless you have a patient list that you can't currently service within your existing environment, and you're going to unlock that potential and immediately add gross.
Yeah, definitely.
Add gross, add profit, add value. But just by adding on another surgery, it doesn't. And I think very often people jump to adding on another surgery because that's quite an exciting project. It's fun. It's building. It's
shiny.
Shiny new things. But in reality, you really should be looking at increasing your chair occupancy before you consider any other surgeries. And that goes back to that, what's the impact to my business? And actually adding a surgery too soon when you haven't fully utilized your existing surgeries, it would actually have a negative impact on your business.
Well, it's a cost drain, isn't it?
Well, it'll be a cost drain. It's a distraction. And also from the team's point of view, there's just kind of more space to work in, but you're not any busier. So and you also, as you were saying, we're seeing way more people now who are saying, I'm looking to exit in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. What things can and could I should be doing now so that when I do exit, I've maximized my value? And we all accept we can't control the market.
Yeah.
The market will be the market. We can't do anything about that. But we've talked before about valuations are based on two numbers. There's the multiple, which broadly we control because we use our comparable database and our experience. But the profitability, which is the other number, is controlled by the practice owner. And by helping them with an impact valuation and showing them what their profitability could be by making some changes might take them further towards where they want to be when they come to exit in 3, 5, 7 years' time. But it also applies to introducing new services as well. You know, what's the impact of, I'm thinking about extending my hygienist therapist services, which then might enable you to perhaps bring in a periodontist. I might be looking to develop a campaign around clear aligners. I might have a big push and do some open days. And if I did some clear aligners, what impact would that have on my value? So I think people are getting way more tuned into the numbers side of things because the reality is that as a practice owner, you are running a business and that's never going to come above, you know, patient care, but you do need to make sure you're running a profitable business because that funds everything. And actually you need to run a profitable business to provide good patient care.
And I think it doesn't it, an impact valuation, what it does is it gives you, I think, almost a justification or non-justification for an investment. You know,
That's a good point.
Dentists may not be aware of the old, you know, another three-letter abbreviation, the ROI, but we are, which, for those of you who don't know, is return on investment. So, you know, those of you that own practices will probably be doing some SEO. I mean, it still amazes me the number of practices who don't do anything to do with SEO, with the target market that is out there. But anyway, it's another issue. And you know, you have a nice fancy website, or you don't, or you produce some literature and mailings, whatever it might be. But the key is, if you are spending £1,000, what is your return on that £1,000? Now, some of them you can't tell, can you? You know, some of it is just like presence marketing. But the beauty of an impact valuation is, one, you get someone who understands numbers and understands the market to say, right, well, if you did this, this is what will happen. You know, as you say, based on everything maintaining the same, which then might make you think, oh, okay, it's worthwhile spending that money to do it. And I think that the second thing is that then gives you almost the authority to do it because we know, don't we, from running our businesses and creating businesses and acquiring businesses, you know, when we look at it, we say, right, one, does it make sense? Two, can we afford it? And three, is it going to make a return on our investment? Whether that return on the investment is now, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. But we go through that process and we have done, and we regularly do it.
Yeah. And It just makes so much sense because owning a dental practice for many principals is going to be the most expensive, if not the top one or two most expensive assets they have. So looking after it makes sense. And everybody's going to sell one day, whether it's this month, next month, or in 10 years' time. Therefore, making good investment decisions and making good decisions generally in your business so that it moves in the right direction just makes good sense. Mm. And I think having the opportunity to do some what ifs is no bad thing, because you're absolutely right. It would validate the investment decision, but also it might give you the data to say it's not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because going back to that point about if somebody's talking about adding on another two or three surgeries. Yeah.
Spend 100 grand and nothing happens.
It may be that actually there just isn't the potential to grow into that space, or it happens in two stages. Mm. You do something before to make sure you get incredibly busy and you build this pipeline so that when those new surgeries are available, you can really drive into it. Mm. But again, it's quite nice to know the actions you're going to be taking. What impact is that going to have on your value?
Well, what was that thing? I can't remember who said it. I don't know, some bloke, woman, lady, whatever, business guru, that basically you should run your business with the thought that you're going to sell it at some time.
Yeah.
Even though at that moment in time, as you were saying, it could be 10, could be 20 years down. But if you've effectively built your business to maximise the value on retirement, that also means that you're maximising the income generation of it now.
Mm.
So it means not only are you building a value for the future, but you're benefiting from that enhanced revenue now, aren't you? So it's not like you're investing for something that might happen in 20 years' time. The answer is you're going to actually be benefiting from it now. So why delay?
Mm. You know? Oh, it's that thing. It's what you said. You know, selling your business and preparing your business for sale are two completely different things. Mm. In my world, you know, you should always be preparing your business for sale.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're selling, but it means it's in really good shape and condition. And it's going to be a more enjoyable place to work. It's going to be efficient.
Mm.
All those cogs are going to be turning nicely. That doesn't mean you're selling, but it does mean that the decisions you're making are good decisions for you and in the future.
Mm. Definitely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Dentology, where we discuss the business of dentistry. If you like what you heard, please do subscribe where you found this episode. That would be amazing. And also follow us on Instagram.